This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. After President Obama nominated Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court, many Latinos across the United States shared pride and excitement. Judge Sotomayor's humble beginnings in a Bronx housing project as the daughter of Puerto Rican migrants touched a personal chord for Latinos who live in similar working-class conditions. This week, as she sparred with members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, many Latinos saw a reflection of their own struggles and success stories. But some think she may be the wrong Latino. Why not a Mexican-American candidate? Why not a male nominee? Others wonder why whether feelings may change if, for example, she proves to be a vote in favor of abortion rights. Later in the hour, Paul Newman is the focus as our summer movie festival continues. Murray Horowitz will join us. If you'd like to nominate your favorite Paul Newman movie, email us talk@npr.org. But first, this Latina moment. We want to hear from our Hispanic listeners today, for and against Sonia Sotomayor. What does this moment mean for you? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. We begin with Gustavo Arellano, who writes the syndicated column Ask a Mexican. He joins us from member station KUCI in Irvine, California. Nice to have you back on the program today.
Hola, Neil.
And the confirmation of the first Hispanic justice is all but certain now. So what does this moment mean for you?
It does seem that Sotomayor is going to be the first person of Latino ethnicity on the Supreme Court. It's a huge celebration. It really shows that despite all the struggles that all the various Latinos in this country of various nationalities or ethnic groups have struggled, that now we have one of our own on the highest judicial level in the country. And that's just one step. We already have senators, representatives. Of course, the next step will be president or vice president, and that will probably happen in about 20 years or so. This is a step, and it's a monumental step.
And there's you hearing any quibbles about the wrong ethnic group, the wrong nationality?
There is. Some of it I understand. Of course, anybody from their own particular ethnic group would want somebody of their own representatives. I'm sure when Judges Scalia and also Alito were nominated, Italian-Americans, of course, rejoiced. And I'm sure some, I don't know, Czech Americans or other ethnic group, European ethnic groups might have grumbled a little bit, but still they were happy. So in our case, yeah, it would have been cool if a Mexican-American made it to the, you know, chief to the Justice of the Supreme Court, but I'm not going to begrudge it. However, there are some chauvinists. That's the only way you could call them, Mexican chauvinists, who say that it should have been a Mexican-American because Mexican-Americans were much larger in number than Puerto Ricans, and we've struggled much more than Puerto Ricans. I think that such statements, they're a tiny, tiny minority, but they're ahistorical, and frankly, they're foolish and chauvinistic against our Latino brothers and sisters in this case, huh?
And joining us also is Mimi Valdez-Ryan, editor-in-chief of Latina Magazine. She joins us from NPR's Bureau in New York. Nice to have you with us today, too.
Thank you for having me.
And what does this moment mean for U.S. Latinas in particular?
Oh, it's just an amazing moment. I think for all Latinas and just Latinos in general, it's such a great sort of inspiring thing to see her up there during these confirmation hearings. And of course, you know, we all think that she is going to get confirmed. But just to know that someone who came from such humble backgrounds, from Bronx housing projects, no less, not a pretty community back when she was there.
And not today either.
It's better. It's definitely better. But definitely when she was there and growing up, and to think that she came from that and is now just even being considered for this, to be a justice of the Supreme Court is just beyond amazing.
And do you think that this is going to change political involvement for Latinos, a greater participation in politics, do you think?
Absolutely. I think ever since the presidential campaign with Clinton and Obama and just all of that going on, I think for Latinos in general, it was just very inspiring to see like, okay, look, there's a female running for president. There's an African-American running for president. I think a lot of young Latinos saw that, and there's much more of an interest now in just politics and social issues and just getting more involved.
And have you heard, I wonder, anyone say, our perception of Latino culture in general is that it's a fairly macho culture. Why isn't this an Hispanic male who's being appointed to the Supreme Court?
I haven't heard that, and I think anyone who actually says that is just silly. I mean, at the end of the day, Latinos, female, male, if it would have been a male, I would have been just as happy. Obviously, being a female, being a Latina, I'm very happy to see it's someone that is very similar to kind of, you know, not only a female, but just kind of how I grew up. I also grew up in housing projects and in Manhattan. But I think at the end of the day, it's a Latino, regardless, you know, if female, male, whatever ethnicity, Mexican, Puerto Rican, I'm super happy. And most of the people I know are, too.
And I'm sure you heard what Gustavo had to say about Mexican chauvinists. Have you heard that, too, from, well, either people of Mexican origin or any other part of the Latin American world for that
matter? No, I haven't. But I'm not surprised. I mean, Gustavo actually is contributed to Latina, so I know him as well. Well, and you know,
hey,
hi. So it's funny because I know that probably does exist, but that's with anything. I think, you know, there's always going to be the like, hey, it would have been cool if it would have been a Mexican. It would have been cool if it would have been Ecuadorian, if that's your background. But at the end of the day, who cares, really?
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. We want to hear from Hispanic listeners today about the world and how it's changed now that Sonia Sotomayor appears all but certain to be the next Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. What does this moment mean to you? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. And Miriam's on the line with us, calling from Fort Lauderdale.
Hello.
Hello.
I never thought I'd get on.
Uh-huh. Congratulations.
I am so excited. Because this is the first appointment of national importance for a Puerto Rican.
And specifically because for Puerto Rico?
I'm Puerto Rican. I've seen other Latino groups get appointments, and we haven't gotten any. So I'm very excited. I'm also excited that she's a woman. I'm also excited that she went to Princeton because my husband went to Princeton. He's
so,
Puerto Rican.
So that's three pitches in her favor as far as you're concerned.
And I'm going to send my daughter's papers so that perhaps she can clerk for her because she's Puerto Rican and she just graduated from Cornell Law School.
Well, this is unalloyed joy for you.
I'm having a party.
Congratulations. And we'll expect the invitations in the mail.
I'll send you one.
Thanks very much, Miriam, for the phone call.
You.
Appreciate
God bless you.
It.
Bye.
And Gustavo Arellano, just for those of us, we say Latino, obviously Mexican-Americans, the largest group, Puerto Ricans, a large group, too, but this is a diverse group of people.
Of course. It needs to be said, unfortunately, for some people, but Latino really means anybody with experience in Latin America. They're descendants of Latin America. It could be anyone from a Jew living in Argentina to an Afro-Cuban to Ecuadorian to Russian, people of Russian descent who came from Mexico. It's everything in Latin America. So the shared commonality really is just that background from Latin America. The differences are not only from nationality, but even like I always tell people from my example of Mexico, there's 30-some states in Mexico, and even in Mexico, there's all these different regions. You can't say there's a Latino experience. The only shared experience we have is of that same background from Latin America. But nevertheless, I think the nomination, the hopeful, the appointment of Sotomayor, that it is going to be a cause of celebration, one of the rare unifying moments that all of us as Latinos do have here in the United States.
That experience and the language, you'd have to say. Is it?
Well, you see, that's not necessarily true. Brazilians, they speak Portuguese. There's natives in Mexico who don't even speak Spanish. There's even here in the United States, there's Mexican Americans or third or fourth generation Tejanos who are still considered Latino, but they haven't spoken a lick of Spanish in about three or four generations.
And Mimi Valdez Ryan, New York City, of course, where you're from. Yes, Puerto Ricans are a very large group there, but there are plenty of other Hispanic groups in New York City.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we have everything from Cubans to Dominicans, Mexicans. I mean, you name it, they're here. So obviously it's a big moment for Latinos in New York just because there's so many ethnicities right here in the city.
Let's get Damien on the line. Damien calling us from Chicago.
Hello. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, and thanks for calling.
Thank you. I think what's most exciting about Sonia Sotomayor's nomination, I'm half Spanish and half Polish. I grew up in Spanish housing projects in Chicago. So the part, and I don't speak Spanish, the part that I think is most exciting is her background coming from a poor community, coming from housing projects. What bound us together, the common experience of my childhood, was not ethnicity. In the housing projects, there was black, white, Hispanic, purple, green. What bound us together was our common experience through poverty, the plight of poverty. We all knew that same junkie on the corner together. Those experiences and those visions that she can bring to the Supreme Court are going to be visions that we've never seen before. So I think that the most exciting part is watching where her background is from. I think the Latin part also adds a unique mix, but it is really the background of poverty and an experience that is truly unique to those experiences in the Bronx and housing projects, in any housing projects of America.
And we'll get a response to that. I do have to ask, though, Damien, what happens when you cook sausage in your house? What happens when you cook sausage in your house? Which side comes out? Is it chorizo or is it bratwurst?
Yes, I understand. I like a guamki filled with very, very spicy chorizo.
Okay. Mimi Valdez-Ryan, as you mentioned, you grew up in a housing project as well. And that, we hear about Princeton, we hear about Yale Law School, indelible part of the background of Sonia Sotomayor is that housing project.
Yeah, I mean, what Damien says is so true. I mean, when you grow up in a housing project, to even imagine the American dream is so hard because everyone around you is poor. No one around you has made it out. All you see, lots of times, you know, you don't even leave the projects. You know, your supermarket is on the corner. Your school is a couple of blocks away. This is your world. So it's super hard to even just imagine that you can leave here and become successful. So the fact that someone like her has done that is such a great example to so many people across the world who come from humble beginnings.
And Gustavo Arias, I think a lot of people were especially moved by her description of her mother working at the table in their apartment in that housing project, not only helping them with her homework, with her children, with their homework, but studying herself so she could get a better job, too, that education is the way ahead in America.
Yeah, some people are arguing that Sotomayor and Puerto Ricans, for that matter, are not really immigrants. In fact, they are American citizens, which is true. But the Puerto Rican experience, and I'm sure Mimi can talk much more about this, it is very much part of the immigrant experience in the United States. So, Judge Sotomayor's mom had to leave her island of Puerto Rico. She became a single mom, unfortunately. And through that, she taught her daughter what it really meant to be an American, what it really meant to advance in life, and also taught her, frankly, pride in her Puerto Rican heritage. And that's one hallmark of Sotomayor, to be prideful not only of this country, but also of her particular ethnicity and what they've contributed to this country.
Damien, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
We're talking about the cultural significance of the nomination and apparent virtual confirmation of Judge Sonia Sotomayor. We want to hear from Latino listeners today. For and against Mayor Sotomayor, what does this moment mean for you? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Judge Sonia Sotomayor's confirmation is all but a done deal at this point. She wrapped up her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier today. For many Latinos, a moment long overdue, the first Hispanic name to the Supreme Court. Still, some have questions and wonder if she is the best first choice. We want to hear from our Hispanic listeners today. For and against Sonia Sotomayor, what does this moment mean for you? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Gustavo Arellano is with us. He writes the syndicated Ask a Mexican column and is the author of Orange County, A Personal History. Also with us, Mimi Valdez-Ryan. She's editor-in-chief of Latina Magazine. And Gustavo Arellano, let me ask you, is there going to be, do you think, a moment of buyer's remorse for some Latinos if, as expected, Judge Sonia Sotomayor turns out to be a vote in favor of abortion rights?
I don't really think so. It's just one issue among many issues. And it seems so far that Sotomayor is really moderate, a little bit more liberal than conservative. But it's going to depend on the totality of her votes in court decisions. I think people will be able to see, well, maybe we shouldn't have been so supportive of her. But nevertheless, it still doesn't take away from the significance of what we are celebrating today. In the future, only history will be able to judge what type of justice Sotomayor is going to become. And nothing really honestly can be said until that happens.
Mimi Valdez-Ryan, the majority of Latinos are Catholic, and the majority of Latinos, you'd say, are pro-life.
Well, I think it depends which generation you're talking to. A lot of older Latinos, I think, are pro-life. But then when you speak to younger Latinos, they're definitely, you know, I won't say pro-abortion, but just definitely pro-choice. So I think there is definitely a split between the generations. So at the end of the day, her decisions or sort of how she votes on all these different things, I honestly don't think it really matters. It doesn't, like Gustavo said, it doesn't take away from the moment and just the fact that we have someone that looks like us on this bench.
Let's go to Alex. Alex with us from Raleigh in North Carolina.
Oh, yes. Hi. Well, I mean, I'm so happy that they choose, in this case, it's a Latina and a Hispanic. You know, the difference is that Hispanic speaks Spanish, the Latin doesn't. Well, I mean, the Latin does, but no, everybody Latin.
Okay.
Okay.
Now you understand some of our problems in life, but go ahead, Alex.
I think that I'm super happy about this, but I think that it was as a political strategy for Obama. You know, it was a win-win. You know, if they don't choose Sotomayor, the Hispanic community will be against the Republicans. And if they choose it, you know, Obama will have a lot of support from the Latin community. Do you see that? I mean, I don't know if a lot of people see that, but I think that is a win-win situation there for Obama.
Well, Gustavo Arellano, let me ask you about that. George W. Bush won considerable support among Latinos in his two elections, support that went very heavily towards Barack Obama and the Democrats in this last election. What do you think is going to be the lasting political effect of the nomination of Sotomayor?
Obviously, Obama wanted to choose somebody who would bolster him politically. But this wasn't definitely a token choice. Sotomayor, of course, has a long, long judicial history, but it does nothing but help Obama. At the same time, the Republican Party, it could be construed that any criticism of Sotomayor is criticism against Latinos in general, but the Republican Party, as it stands right now, they've shot themselves in the foot way, way, way before Sotomayor, just with their whole know-nothing stance on immigration and their vitriol. Even in the hearing, you have Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma telling Sotomayor in his best Ricky Ricardo voice, you have some splaining to do. But the funniest thing is he can't even get the jokes right. Ricky Ricardo is Cuban, not Puerto Rican. So it just shows the ignorance of a lot of these Republicans, especially the senators who are grilling Sotomayor. In that sense, Latinos, we just, at least in my experience, I just laugh at Republicans and really how clueless they are about Latinos.
Mimi Valdez-Ryan, were there any moments of sensitivity as you listened to the hearing?
Oh, gosh, there are so many. I mean, a lot of these questions and just the sort of the condescending tone and just the, I mean, it was painful to watch, actually. I mean, and I just have to say, I'm just so proud of her and how Sotomayor is just handling it. I mean, she's just, they can't rattle her. And I know that makes them mad and I love it.
Okay. Yeah, seriously.
Thanks very much for the call, Alex.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to line five. Dawn calling from Chicago.
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm thrilled, and I also agree that I think the way that she handled the grilling was really, it says a lot about the woman herself. And while I'm a Mexican-American Latina, I'm very thrilled with her appointment. But I think that it also says that, you know, we're so diverse as a group that there's so many opinions that we have. I happen to be a pro-choice Latina, so I'm hoping that her position on the court will further my own philosophies in that area.
And would you change your mind if she voted the other way?
Would I change my mind? I wouldn't be pleased, let me say that. I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, I was a Latina, and Alberto Gonzalez did not make me happy at all. So it could be changed, yes.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Gilbert. Gilbert with us from San Antonio.
Hello?
Hi, Gilbert. You're on the air.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Same. Likewise. Go ahead.
Great. Well, what I'm hoping on this is that we're going to, like, actually kind of change the debate about Latinos and everything like that and just kind of look at everybody, like, as Americans. I mean, her story is like the typical Irish story. It's the typical Italian story. It's the typical Russian story. It's just a bunch of immigrants who came over here looking for a better life and made something of themselves.
So everybody has their story of coming to this country and living in difficult circumstances and pulling themselves up by their bootstraps.
Right. It's an American story. I hope we can kind of get away from these, you know, stereotypes where it's a Latino, it's a Asian, it's a African. It's just an American story. It's about coming over to a country that has opportunity and making the best out of the situation that you're given.
It's interesting. We have an email from Juan in Los Angeles that seems to be something along the same lines. As a Latino American male, I find your guest's insistence that Sotomayor's nomination to the Supreme Court is important because she is a Latina and of our ethnicity insulting. It is this type of 1960s thinking that hinders this nation from progressing. Are we to assume that the white senators and House members only work for white Americans? Clearly not. This thinking goes against what America is really about, unity. Just read the Puerto Rican firefighter's comments from the case Sotomayor ruled on. He does not say he thought she should have ruled his way due to race or ethnicity. Your guest comments and even talking about this, though it's an issue, shows how childish this nation is. Ask them why most Latino voters vote Republican. Well, they didn't last time around, Juan, but and I don't think they did the time before, but in substantial numbers voted Republican. But in any case, he does have a point, Gustavo Arellano.
Well, it's funny. He's writing from Los Angeles. The Republican Party is dead in California because specifically of the policies that they went against Mexican immigrants back in 1994 with Proposition 187. Also, what the previous caller said, it's absolutely true. This is an American story, but how is America? America is a progression. You have your immigrants. They come here. They're reviled. They live in poverty. Then they build themselves up, and then they become Americans. It's all part of the assimilation process. What I'm celebrating isn't so much the balkanization of this country. No, this country isn't balkanized. What we are seeing, though, is Latinos being accepted in a very high part of American life where they weren't before. That is the American story, celebrating our ethnic groups as they advance little by little by little into the full American story. Because let's not pretend that it's always been fun and games for racial harmony here in this country. Absolutely not. This is a celebration of the truth of this country as opposed to the practice that unfortunately has never really been to its potential in the history of this country.
Exactly. I feel the same way. What we're celebrating here is diversity, is the fact that we can look at that bench and there's more than just one ethnicity on there. You know, obviously we already have African American, but now that there is a Latino on the bench, that's what we're celebrating. I would love that this country was completely colorless and things like this didn't matter. But until we get to that point, we have to celebrate any time we have such when diversity becomes such an important part of the national debate. That's a great thing.
It's interesting that neighborhood and Mimi Valdez Ryan, you know this very well from New York City. There's an awful lot of neighborhoods that may be Hispanic now, but were Jewish before that, or Irish or Italian.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, New York, I mean, you know, growing up here, I was born and raised in New York City. I love it here just because it has always been such a diverse place. It's always been a melting pot. I love that. But unfortunately, the rest of the country is not like New York City. You know, I'm very comfortable with all different types of ethnicities, but that's not the case when you go to the middle of the country or wherever else. And I just would love that the rest of the country would celebrate diversity and embrace it and not think that it's such a weird and foreign thing and strange and not American. I mean, these ethnicities have been here for generations, or when they come here, they're very much about sort of being, you know, integrated in American culture and participating. And this is not about, like I said before, this is about celebrating diversity. That's all this is about.
Email on this point, too, from Tatha in West Bengal, India, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I feel the feel of triumph in the Latina community will cause a backlash among others. It feels as if they are putting her Latina heritage above being American. And I guess that's to you, Mimi.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, I'm very much a Latina, but I'm very much an American, obviously being born and raised here. And again, it just goes to the point of celebrating diversity and seeing different points of view. I just think that this country would be a much better place when it's not like, we just see more representations of different ethnicities that can bring different life experiences and different viewpoints to whether it's the bench, to the judicial system, politics, whatever it is. That is a really, really great thing.
Let's go next to Ricardo. Ricardo with us from Durham in North Carolina.
Yes, hello. I think I'm ecstatic over the fact that she's being nominated to the, and going to be in the Supreme Court. I think it's about time. I think it's way overdue. I agree with everyone and what they've been saying. More representation of Latinos in higher positions in society is necessary, and not just for Latinos, for all ethnicities, because people need to get over the image of America as primarily of one or another or of this or that ethnic group. America is what it is. It is a land of opportunity, and we're all here to make America better. And the fact that she's being, you know, lambasted for having said that, you know, a wise Latina, whatever, da-da-da, that comment, I mean, that just, it goes to show that people are fearful still of the different, of the other, and they need to get over it. This is like the 21st century. We are a nation of immigrants. That's our strength. That's what makes us competitive in the world. We are better for it, and people need to realize that. So the more that the other parts of the country, besides New York and Los Angeles and the multicultural centers that already exist, the more that other people in the country see that, hey, there is a different color or a different face or a different whatever on the bench, and look, she's doing great, the more people will try, I hope, will get over the fact that, the other has arrived, and they'll be more accepting, and hopefully we will get to the point where we will be a colorless society.
Mm. Gustavo Arellano, I wanted to follow up on that with you. Obviously, the traditional home of Hispanics and Latinos in this country has been places like Los Angeles, places like New York City, but that has changed dramatically over the past 20 years, as there are now plenty of people of all kinds of origins in places like Durham, North Carolina.
Yeah, you had two callers just in this segment, one from Durham, one from Raleigh. North Carolina, actually, percentage-wise, had the largest increase of Latinos in this decade. It's huge. Latinos are all over the United States now. They're in places. I once did a book signing in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, right on the edge of Yellowstone National Park. It's a town of 10,000. About 20% of the population is Latino, mostly Mexicans from one particular region of Mexico. I was blown away, especially as somebody who grew up here in Southern California, grew up almost my entire life, mostly a super majority Mexicans, to realize that it's all over the country. But of course, the reality of what's going to happen in the United States is kind of like the reality of my life. You just have immigrants who go through life here in the United States, pull themselves up by the bootstraps, to use that cliche, and really just become Americans. I always hate to say that that's going to happen. It's such a cliche, but unfortunately, some people do need to be reminded of that again and again.
Ricardo, thanks very much.
That's been my experience. I am a Mexican-American. I did go to Princeton, and I'm from a very, very poor background. I mean, we didn't even have plumbing when I was growing up. So I appreciate the fact that that can be done, and people need to see that that's not just for us. That's for everybody. Everybody can do that in this country, and it's a great thing. This should be celebrated by everyone. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks again, Ricardo. Appreciate it. We're talking with Gustavo Arellano and Mimi Valdez-Ryan about this Latina moment. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Eduardo's on the line. Eduardo from Miami.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing your panelists, and they're talking about just Hispanic. It's great. I mean, America is diverse. It's great. I mean, people from all over the world come here and accomplish their goals and dreams. But that being said, then what next? Is it a requirement that an Asian or of any other racial background? I'm ecstatic. I'm Hispanic, proud of it, and I'm glad that she's been nominated. But the thing is, other than her background, is race all that important on the bench in the sense that she's going to be there for life? Though the caller you said earlier, what if she doesn't rule in her, to her life? Well, she'll be very disappointed. Well, that's right. She's going to be there for life. So let's not just look at it as race. I think, let's look at the fact that, if race shouldn't be just the sole issue.
I think a lot of people, Eduardo, said that and looked at her background, 17 years on the federal bench.
I'm not disputing that. It's your two panelists there. They keep on saying, it's about time. Well, I agree some to an extent. But at the same time, I started looking at it. Hold up. This is a Supreme Court nomination, Hispanic or not. Okay, I mean, if it was the same qualifications with a different race, would we be lauding that candidate right now?
Interesting question, Mimi Valdez.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, her qualifications are undeniable. I mean, she has more experience than what do they say, like 100 years of I forget exactly what it is, but I mean, please stop it. Her qualifications are undeniable. We don't even have to discuss that. What we are discussing is just the fact that here's someone with these great qualifications, completely qualified, skilled for this position, is clearly competent enough to do it. And the icing on the cake is that, for me, is that she is a Latina woman because she will bring diversity to that bench. And that's what I'm celebrating and excited about.
And quickly, Gustavo Arellano, would it have made a difference if she was who she was, but her name was Jackson or Chu?
if she's qualified, that's all that matters. All this is a moment showing that America is really what it is. We're celebrating who the Latina on the Supreme Court. I was happy when Alberto Gonzalez was nominated because he was the first Mexican-American attorney general to the United States. I wasn't happy with the follow-through, but nevertheless, you could still express pride at that particular moment.
Oh, well, thank you both very much. We appreciate your time today. Eduardo, thanks very much for the phone call, too. And our guests were Gustavo Arellano, author of Orange County, A Personal History, and a staff writer for OC Weekly. The syndicated column is called Ask a Mexican. Joined us today from member station KUCI in Irvine, California. Mimi Valdez-Ryan is the editor-in-chief of Latina Magazine with us from our bureau in New York. Coming up next, our summer movie festival continues. We celebrate a movie star whose blue eyes stayed bright well into his 70s.
I do that. I grow on people.
The best Paul Newman movies. Murray Horowitz joins us. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.